Are you a pastor or leader who wants to make a difference? Are you willing to commit to the long term in your ministry? Come along on a journey of endurance with Alan and Trent. Welcome to Endure, building churches and leaders that last.
Hello, and welcome to a special edition of Enduring Churches. My name is Dana Young. I'm married to Pastor Trent, who is a regular here on Enduring Churches. And I have a special guest with me today, Christy Seeley. Hi, Christy. How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's good to be with you today.
Good. Well, Christy, will you tell us just a little bit about your ministry and tell us some about your husband?
Sure. My husband, Norm Seeley, who has been on Enduring Churches before, and I run a ministry called IMD, which stands for Institute for Ministry Develop, and we train pastors and church leaders anywhere around the world where God gives us an opportunity to.
That's wonderful. And how long have you been with IMD?
3 years now.
Okay. Well, we appreciate IMD International because they are actually one of our sponsors for Enduring Churches. And so we appreciate that support very, very much. Well, Christy and I know each other from several years back. We attended a church together in Colorado. And at that time, Christy and her family felt called to become missionaries. So, Christy, will you tell us some about how you felt called into the ministry?
Sure, I'll be happy to. I think I was first called into international missions when I was really very small. I would ride around northeastern Colorado with my grandmother, who taught Good News Clubs after school for child evangelism fellowship. And if you've ever been to a Good News Club, you know that they have flashcard missionary stories that always have a cliffhanger ending to get you to come back next week. And I can just remember feeling a tug, even as a small child, a tug on my heart, thinking that that was something I would like to do someday, is go be a missionary. And then fast forward probably about 30 years and some detours, we're living in Yuma, and I just felt that, you know, we were increasingly involved with ministry at the church, with children and with the youth and different things and mission trips. And I just, you know, every year we'd have Lottie Moon videos and we'd talk about international missions, and that tug on my heart just started getting stronger and stronger. And I had a friend email me and ask me one day out of the blue, do you think maybe you're being called to international missions? And I told her yes. And I said, but Norm's really not on board with that yet. And so in the meantime, he went on a mission trip to India and felt called on the way home to maybe become involved in international missions. And so in the next 6 months, my friend and I were praying about it and praying for him. And then he came to me about 6 months later and said, I think we're being called to international missions. And I said, I do too. So then that's when we started the application process with the International Mission Board, where we served for 10 years before we came back home.
And at that time, you had children at home, correct?
Yes. When we first began the process of applying to be international missionaries, we have three children, two boys and a girl. Our oldest is named Austin, and he was 10 years old. And our middle child, Mason, was 8, and our daughter, Bethany, was 5.
Okay. And I know that that came into play in deciding, should we go now or should we wait?
Well, and yeah, it was, especially with the International Mission Board, they have pretty stringent rules about how old your kids can be when you leave for the field. So that was actually, you know, forefront of our minds and of everyone else's. We got a lot of questions about how our kids would handle it and what it would be like for them.
Well, I first felt called into ministry when I was in high school. And so when Trent and I met and we started talking about ministry, I was pretty excited that he also had felt called into the ministry when he was in high school. But, you know, after he'd been in college for a while, he wanted to take a break. And so I waited patiently, just like you said that you did, because I knew that I was called to be a minister's wife, even though I didn't know what that was going to look like. But I felt that it was really important that my husband also be called and that we follow God at the same time. And so I didn't push. I didn't beg him to go ahead and follow God's call. So it took a little bit of time, but I'm grateful that God has led us into the ministry. So as you and Norm said yes to God's call, how did that affect your marriage? Was there any stress or strain, or did you feel like you were a team?
Well, I think after the 6 months or so that we already talked about, I don't think there's any real strain. I just had a real peace about if that was what we were supposed to do, then we would both be called to do that. And then after we had that conversation, we just really did feel like that was the direction that God wanted us to go in.
And so because Trent and I both feel called to ministry, I feel like that has been a real strength in our ministry, because even though there's tension and stress, we're in it together and we're on the same team. Do you and Norm feel like that?
Yeah, I don't know how we would have made it through if we hadn't, especially living overseas. I mean, for the first few months of our time overseas, we were the only people in our city. So that was it. It was just our little family. So of course there were some times when it was, stressful and we had some things to work out, but we really, I think that feeling like you're in it as a team and that you're both called, then it makes a huge difference, because otherwise I've seen other people deal with that tension and it puts a lot of stress on both people in the marriage.
I totally agree. I'm grateful that I get to be an encourager for my husband, because when we go through tough times, if he doesn't have anybody else on his team, at least he knows that I'm there. And I know some pastors' wives or ministry wives may get jealous of all of the time that their husband spends with their ministry. And we have to keep that in balance. We have to, make sure that as a couple that we're making time to spend with each other and with our family. But if I weren't called to the ministry, then I can see how I might get jealous of the time that he spends away. But because we are both called, I'm understanding. And as long as we still set aside time for date nights, have you all made special effort to keep your marriage strong?
Yeah, I think that's really important. We actually, that's part of our IMD training that we talk about, is that your spouse should receive the greatest impact of your relationship with Jesus. So like if you picture it as a splash in a pond, if that's the impact of your relationship with Jesus, then the people closest to you should be affected by that the most and receive the benefit or that fruit that the Spirit's growing in you, and they should be the ones that you treat in the most godly way and honor in the most godly way. And if that's not happening and you're not making time for that to happen, then the rest of the ministry's not going to be what it could be.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think that that also then bleeds over into raising children in ministry. If my children had felt like Trent was a different person at church than he was at home, then I feel like they would have turned bitter maybe toward the ministry. And I'm grateful, very, very grateful that both of our preacher kids that we raised, they are now serving in their churches, they're serving pastors. And that just is a huge blessing to me because, you know, raising kids is in ministry is stressful as well. So what was your experience with having kids on the mission field?
Well, it was hard. I think our oldest had the hardest time, which is probably, you know, obviously one of the reasons why they don't recommend taking teenagers to the mission field. He was 13 when we left. But we did take a vision trip just, you know, to make sure that we were feeling as a family that's what we should do. And they all did agree. And I think they were very enriched by the thing. But there was definitely some hard days when they missed things at home and life was very different over there and they were isolated and they didn't have the same activities and things that people here had. But I think they really did feel we tried to involve them in the ministry whenever possible and to do, we visited a children's home and they got to know the kids. And I think that was very important for them to feel some ownership in the ministry. But we also didn't require them to participate all the time. I mean, because it was very, there's, you know, church services there, 3 to 4 hours long, and it's hot, and it's in a language you don't speak. And so we gave them a choice. And usually, I have to say, if we gave them the choice whether they wanted to go or not, usually they would choose to go if they didn't, you know, we didn't want them to feel like they were getting dragged around to ministry stuff all the time. And like you said, that balance between making it possible for them to have their own calling and to feel a part of the ministry and just feeling like it, you know, that it was something that they were forced to do.
Yeah, in our family, we call that forced to do. We call that being voluntold. And we had to be really careful about making sure that our kids didn't feel like we were volunteering them and telling them to do something. They needed to be invited to volunteer just like any other church member. And so that's our joke in our family. Yeah, Mom voluntold me for this job. But I also prayed continually that my children's faith would become their own and that they wouldn't go to church and do things just because their dad was the pastor. And I know that both of them struggled in their teenage years and, you know, came to their own faith. And even though it was difficult to see them struggling, I think that that was important. And it was crucial to building their own strong faith. Because if it was just based on their parents' faith, then I feel like it would have been weak and they wouldn't have stayed with it.
I just think that's really true. And if two of our children are, you know, their faith is strong and they are involved in church and serving in church and one is not the oldest one is not. And I feel like if we had some lessons, some parenting lessons to learn that we did better with the younger two, just in the fact that instead of just requiring outward compliance and obedience from them, to really make it a matter of their heart and to try to get below that surface and speak to where their heart was at and to parent more with that in mind.
Yeah, and when we see our children struggling with their faith, then it puts us on our knees And I want to encourage you to continue to pray and to love those of you who are in ministry, that you have children who are not serving God wholeheartedly. Then, you know, get a team around you who will pray with you and keep loving that child, because you want to be there when they come back to faith, and you want to not break that relationship between you and them and between them and God.
I just agree completely with that, that, you know, they are responsible in the end for their own faith and their own decisions. And it's not, you know, we have prayed and prayed for our oldest son, and God has continually just reminded us to love him and to keep the lines of communication open and allow the Holy Spirit to work in his heart and do the rest. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to ask you now, how has it been for you to continue to have friends, even though you're in ministry? Because sometimes ministry can be a lonely place. So what are some things that you and Norm have done to develop friendships with others who are in ministry?
Well, I think we have a distinct advantage in that, more than a pastor at a church, because I know for some pastors' families, it is more difficult for them to have good friendships inside the church for a large number of reasons. But for us, once more people did start coming to the state that we lived in Indiana, our city, it's almost like serving with someone in the army or serving with someone in a, you know, another thing like that. You go through a lot of crises together and you really bond. And we were, and I mean, that's the only person like you there, the only people, you know, from your culture and maybe from your belief system that lived there. So I'd say for people that are in that situation, it is very important to find at least one other person to build a friendship with. And we have lifelong friends that we served with on the field that, even though we don't live near each other anymore, we became really close. Here now we feel it's very important to do have friendships both with other people in ministry like you and Trent, but also with people outside of ministry. And we made special effort to be part of a small group that's separate from our ministry, that where we can just go and have community.
Yes, and community is extremely important. And I'm grateful for friends like you and Norm that, even though we don't get to see each other very often, I feel like when we do get together, it's one of those friendships that we can just pick up where we left off. And I'm grateful for those. And you know, those are few and far between for anybody in life to make those instant friend connections. It's few and far between, but they're very special. And I'm grateful for that. Being in ministry, you know, I feel like sometimes maybe we kind of set ourselves apart, and we appear like we're strong and don't need anybody, but that's a false front. We do need people, and so it's important for us to be real with others. And so for those of you who are in ministry who are listening to us today, we want to encourage you to be real with people and to take time to develop friendships, because it's so important to have that support system around you.
Yeah, I really agree. We went through a hard time through the summer and fall last year, and if we hadn't already had some great friends and fellow believers in place that really helped us and prayed for us through that time, I just feel like God really brought those people into our lives. But we also had to be intentional about being vulnerable and open enough with them so that they could really, you know, help us carry that burden.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and speaking of burdens, it's really difficult in ministry to find time for self-care because, you know, we're trying to be strong and supportive for others, and that's what we're called to. So we enjoy and love doing that. But let's talk for a minute about how important it is to save time to just take care of yourself.
I think that's really important. First of all, just to, you can't feed other people if you don't feed yourself. So it's like that little illustration of the, when the flight attendant tells you about putting your own mask on before you help others put their mask on. I think if you're not spending time abiding with Christ and spending time in the Word and being fed, you just don't have anything to give other people. And that's really important. And when I am and teaching overseas, when I have a chance, I like to talk to husbands about that. Because as, you know, we really believe they're the spiritual leader of the home. And so that also then the responsibility for the spiritual health of their home falls on their shoulders. And just to see if they've thought about, How are they making time, especially if their wives have small children, to give their wives time to be in the Word and making sure they have that time available to them and what they could do to make that easier for their wives. But it's also, you know, and this is training we received from the International Mission Board, it's very important to have retreat times, spiritual retreat times and physical retreat times to just rest and refresh and get away, and to schedule that into your schedule beforehand and not let it get taken over by other things. And I think one of the biggest things we have to learn is how to say no to some things, to leave that time in our schedule, to leave time for self-care and for rest, and, you know, just not have everything so scheduled that if something does, the Holy Spirit does bring something up to you, that you have time to minister to others spontaneously. Sometimes you have to say no to things that you may not really feel called to do, but no one else is willing to do, or things like that. And really be discerning about what it really is God's calling you to do.
That is so wise, because as people who are givers and to our servants, it is so hard to say no, because we feel guilty when we say no. And we think that, well, somebody's not going to like us, or somebody won't approve of us if we say no. But it's really important to say, well, let me pray about that, and to let them know that what you can say yes to are only the things that God tells you to say yes to. And you also mentioned that it's important to schedule time to be alone, schedule time to every day be in your Bible and pray, because if you're not feeding yourself, like you said, we can't feed others. And don't feel guilty about that. Don't feel guilty that you need time, because God did not create us to be limitless. Only He is limitless. And so it's okay to set those boundaries, healthy boundaries, around your time, around your schedule, and around your family, around your marriage. Because in that, that's how your ministry can become strong. So, well, Christy, is there anything else that you want to mention that we didn't cover today?
No, we appreciate you and Trent, and we appreciate your church and the partnership we have with Patterson Avenue, and just ask you continue to pray. We are having to make a lot of adjustments right now because of the travel bans and the shutdowns, and just pray that God will give us the wisdom to know what the rest of our year is going to look like and what our travel is going to look like this year.
Well, let me pray for you before I let you go, okay? Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for Christy and for Norm. I ask, God, that you would bless their ministry of IMD International. I ask, God, that you would provide for them I would ask that you would make a way for them to still do their training worldwide, even if they can't be there physically. We ask, God, for all of the pastors that they train and their families. We ask that you would keep them strong during this time and that they would take advantage of the opportunities to minister in this time of uncertainty. God, I pray that you would protect Norm and Christy and their children, keep them healthy. And I pray, God, that we would be givers of joy during this time. I thank you for friends like Norm and Christy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you, Christy. And we ask that those of you on enduringchurches.com, would you send us a word of encouragement and let us know how we can pray for you.
Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast of the Enduring Churches Network. Alan and Trent appreciate your time. And if you would like to be a sponsor of this program, please contact us at enduringchurches.com.